Okay, good morning, everyone. I have to apologize. Before I say one word, I have to make two apologies. First apology is that I was supposed to say the shmooze, the first shmooze after Simchas Torah, and my schedule changed and I flaked out and I didn't give the shmooze. That's the first apology, that I didn't give the previous shmooze. I think it's the second shmooze, this is the second. The next apology is even worse than the first one, that then I said I'd give the second shmooze, but I forgot about it, so I'm giving you the shmooze I was going to give after the Simchas Torah, when I had a little more time to prepare Shabbos Bereishis. So I know this is Parshas Lech Lecha, but you're going to hear a shmooze right now in Parshas Bereishis. But I went through it, and all of the inyanim, all of the topics I'm going to speak about are relevant, even though it's Parshas Lech Lecha. Some people, they come into Shabbos, they're happy if they know what Parsha it is. I hope you're not one of them, but in case you are, you just want to know what Parsha is so you sound intelligent, and you can come home and say, yeah, I heard a shmooze today on Adam and Chava. You can come home and say, Parshas Bereishis, right? And your parents are going to say, oh my gosh, change yeshivas. But it's Parshas Lech Lecha. I'm giving the shmooze on Parshas Bereishis. That was the third apology. Fourth apology is that I'm not giving a typical shmooze. It's very unorthodox. It's not really a shmooze. It's more like a Parsha shir. So when I was going through the Parsha, I never said any one of these things before. This was created special for you, tailor-made for you this morning. And just looking to see if my boys are here, because they know I hate public speaking. If they're here, they calm me down. Thank you, guys. Okay, so let's begin. Relax. I think if time permits, I have five total, possibly irrelevant points on five different places in the Parsha. I'm sharing with you the five points that occurred to me that would be worthy to share, and I think be your benefit. Okay, each one, we'll keep it short. Okay, the first one, Perek Beis, Pasuk Tesvav. The Pasuk says, Vayikach Hashem Elokim es Adam. Hashem took Adam Rishon, Vayinicheu b'Gan Eden, and he placed him in Gan Eden, La'avda u'L'shamra, to work it, literal translation, La'avda u'L'shamra. La'avda u'L'shamra. This is pretty problematic. First of all, the trees in Gan Eden grew by themselves. And second of all, the whatever irrigation was needed, the previous psukim spoke about all the rivers. Shema Echad Pishon. They go through all the rivers that were around there. And Gichon. Shlishi Chidekel. And Pras. So all these rivers going through in and out of Gan Eden. I'm not so familiar with the geography, but you can't get better than that. You have four rivers interflowing. You don't need any irrigation. So it's the Pasuk says that Adam Rishon was placed in Gan Eden, La'avda, to work it, U'L'shamra, protect it, to make sure it's maintained. So you get this impression when you think about Adam in Gan Eden that he's like plowing the land and he's, you know, irrigating it, like some, you know, picture of like some Israeli farmer on the field, this cap, and is not needed. So what's going on? So the Medrash Pirkei Rabbi Elazar notes this obvious, incomprehensible words in the Pasuk. And he says, La'avdo l'shama does not mean to work it and protect it and preserve it. It's not what it means. Avda is by learning when he was Gan Eden. And l'shamra, like shamra and zachar, to abstain from doing lavin, abstain from sin. And the Pasuk writes this as a message to us that we have to emulate Adam Rishon. You think about this. A person's put in this world, okay, and we are the same way. He put in this world the Avda L'Shamra, to work and preserve life. And the truth is, it's the same way today. Pirkei the Rabbi Elazar, Medrash, says, you don't have to work it because the trees grow by themselves. Everything is going to grow by ourselves. Ulashamra, we don't need any irrigation. We don't need any major support. There are rivers. There's sustenance coming without anything for us to do. So what's Pshat La'avdil L'Shamra? Rabosai, this is a fallacy. The world, unfortunately, you're living in a world where there's so much attention heaped on careers and getting ahead and universities and trying to get advanced universities. I have a cousin who sent his kid. He grew up the same way I did in Borough Park. But whatever, he veered off, I'm not judging it, but he sent his 2 and 3 year old, started in a secular school, because in that school they were teaching certain skills, and they wanted him and her to get ahead so they could be advanced, so they can get into the right university when they're 2 or 3 years old. They stayed in that secular school. I don't think there's much Yiddishkeit anymore there, but their kavanas were la'avdil l'shamra, like before the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Any person who learned in Kollel, you could ask, the boys in high school never went through this, so you have to know for yourself, you can't just listen blindly. You can ask anyone that learned in Kollel for a year and ask them, you know, maybe more than a year, how did they make it? It may make no sense to anyone how they can make it. But it's the answer is, the Avda L'Shamra is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Sustains us. He wants us to learn. You know, he's going to make sure it happens. You have to do minimal ishtadlis. When I was in Kollel, I lived in an apartment building, and there were mishalachim always come around, knocking all the doors. I couldn't write them a check because my checkbook was negative. So you know what negative is? That means you paid the electric bill, or we just went from minus 100 to minus 200. Then you pay the grocery store, you went from minus 200 to minus 500. Then you pay, water bill, and you go to the 95. If someone came to the door, how could I write it a check and go from minus 70 to minus 100? By the way, it's actually easier arithmetic, but that's the only benefit. How could you do that? So I couldn't give even mishulachim who were coming to the door anything. If I had any cash in my pocket, I'd give them a dollar. I know you feel a little funny, this guy coming to your door and asking him for change of a dollar. You just feel funny. It's like, wouldn't open the door. And it was, and then I was learning yeshiva, and someone told me that you have to give meiser. So you have to give meiser. How much does give meiser? I don't have positive attention in my checkbook. How do you give meiser? He says, you're doing it all wrong. You could try this. Every one of you could try it, but you need to have expenses to be able to, for it to really see it. Anyone who has real expenses, you could try it. So they told me you're doing it all wrong. You go into your checkbook. When you get any check from any, get a check, any revenue, any income, let's say you get $1,000. You take the $1,000. When you deposit it, you also hand them a withdrawal slip, and you put a tenth of it into a separate account. So I started handing $1,000 with a deposit slip of $1,000 and a withdrawal slip for $100, which is miser, into a separate account. And now I had a separate account, which was only money for tzedakah. And then you'll always have money for tzedakah. I said, but I'll have no money to pay. Shem will work that out. So I started. So the next day I went to the bank. I had my first $1,000, gave him $1,000, took off $100, put in a separate account. The next day, it says Aser to Aser, and the Chazal say Aser Kadesha Tis Asher, you become rich. So I was going to test this out. You're allowed to test this out. This worked. The next day, after I made that deposit and withdrawal, Meshulah comes to my door, knocks on the door. I open the door. Come on, man, I had $100 in my account. $100. Now, my other account was as negative as usual, but this account was positive. Come on in, come in, have a seat. I treated him like I was a gevir. Okay? Then I gave him a check. I wrote a check for $5. I gave a $5 check. I felt like the richest guy in the world with a cup of lemonade. So, and from then on, Ad Hayom Hazeh, I have to give tzedakah, it's no problem. I'm rich. I'm always rich. In my Maish account, I'm rich. It changed my life. Mamish. The other accounts still, I did one other thing with the other accounts. I told my wife to take care of the accounting. But it automatically, La'avdil L'shamra, Kodesh Baruch Hu takes care. I have no idea how we were able to pay the bills. Nothing changed. We did not have not 1 ounce more difficulty paying bills after we started doing this than before. How did it work? I have no idea. Kodesh Baruch Hu worked it out. La'avdil L'shamra. It's not you that has to do the work. We grow everything that we need comes. The same way we grow when a person, a little baby is, you know, 1 foot tall, 2 feet tall. How they can become 5 feet, 6 feet? Anything you have to do? Regular food? The kid grows by themselves. Most of the time. You have something to help, but most of the time, you grow by yourself. Of those, you have to remember that. Of those, you guys are going to make decisions after high school, what you're going to do. And people are thinking, 12th graders are thinking, hey, la'avdil l'shamra, okay, I have to do, I have to make sure I have the right, okay, you have to do some ishtadlis. You can't just sit on your couch. You have to do some ishtadlis. But la'avdil HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. What's the la'avda? Yeah, you have to do the right thing. You have to learn. L'shamra, make sure you can preserve by not doing the wrong things. That's not so easy. Okay, that's the first piece. Second piece. There's no correlation, just in order of the parsha. Perek Beis, Pasuk Chafei. The Pasuk says, Vayushneim Arumim Ha'adam Vishto, is Adam and Chava were unclothed, they were naked. Velo Yisboshashu, they were not embarrassed. So the Shabbos Bereishis, Rabbi Gita gave a shmuz, if I recall, gave a shmuz to high school. Beis Medrash wasn't back yet. And he spoke about this, and I'm pretty sure he said most of what I'm saying. Maybe even better or more than what I'm saying. So Rabbi Gita would say it better. I'm not saying over what Rabbi Gita said. I'm saying over from this, but he spoke about this. It was very, very similar. But the whole high school wasn't there. The Sephorno says, this is a very difficult concept, but I want to explain it, I hope, sensitively and respectfully. The Sfarno says that the private parts of Adam and Chava were as commonplace. The reason why Lo Yisboshashu, there was no embarrassment, they were not ashamed. It was literally like this, like their eyes, ears, and mouth. There was no difference. Like eating and drinking, the reproductive organs were, okay, that reproduction, eating, drinking, reproduction, there was no difference. And Mamela, Kodem Achet, there was absolutely no busha whatsoever. After they ate from the Eitz Hadas, what happened was the organs became associated. There was still reproduction. That part's still very respectable. But it was also associated with taiva, chasing after things, not for pruervu. And memela, that's not what the world was created for. Memela, they became ashamed. Okay, that's the Chazal. Sfarno says this beautifully. And it's good to hear Rabbi Gita's other insights on it. But I just want to go in and just bring out a point. What do we say, guys? We're living in a society that's not ashamed of private parts. They're not ashamed. I give you two choices, option A and option B. Option A is they have done such an amazing job to become like Adam and Chava, Kodem Achet, that they view everything is only out reproduction, and they viewed it like eating and drinking. So it was like Adam and Chava, Kodem Achet. That's option A. No one here thinks that's the shot. Although it is a possible option. The other side, you think about this, the reason why they were ashamed is because now the private parts, by definition, embody taiva, lust, gashmius, chasing after things that you're supposed to control. That you have to it's a little bit not so posh. The mela had to be covered up. What do you say about a society that is totally obsessed with exposing private parts? Well, what do you say? So we have to know, guys, where are the B'nai Torah? We at least have to assess what is going on. They are embracing taiva and znus. If you don't believe that, you must be in La La Land. They are embracing taiva and znus. We have to understand what's going on. That is what's going on. So the B'nai Torah, we are the B'nai Torah, Bosai. We have to be very proud of tznius. Tznius just covering up the private parts. We have to be very proud of it. The society is in the opposite direction. They are totally extreme, obsessed. I think they even call some of their clothing lines called obsession. We have to hear what that is. They went to the opposite extreme to make it that we're not ashamed of what the Torah says is supposed to be ashamed of. The whole world is doing it, so maybe I'm wrong. So I want to give you a mashal. I heard this from my Luban years ago. Guy goes to, I think I just told this to my shir. A guy goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he's not used to the water. It's Yadua, that the water there is not the same as the water here. And someone told me, now it's filtered. Okay, I don't know. I'm not drinking the water when I go there, at least the first month. And you drink the water there, something happened to your stomach, and you can get like a very loose diarrhea. So this guy goes to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to learn there, and he's, after a few days, has terrible shilshul, terrible diarrhea. So what does he do? He goes to his roommate. Roommate says, are you okay? He says, no, I have terrible diarrhea. He says, oh, my mother said that could happen, and I have pills for it. Oh, yeah, thank you so much. So he gives him a pill. But the guy doesn't realize his mother gave him, he did give him pills, but those pills were the pills for constipation. So the guy with the diarrhea takes a pill for constipation. Comes to him the next day, he says, how you doing? don't know, it's not getting better. I think it's even worse. Because they're very small pills. I think you need two of them. So he gives him two pills. Comes back the next day. How you doing? No, it's not working. It's getting worse. So they're really, really small pills. You should take three pills. You can imagine what's going on. It's getting worse and worse because he's taking the wrong medication. In the veldt, this is what's going on. Rabbi Lubman said a beautiful mashal. He said, people want to feel good about themselves. They feel low. And they want to feel like they're esteemed and that people look up to them, that they're attractive. So what do they want to, how do they feel good? They do it by exposing more of the body, thinking that they become more attractive. So now they're going to feel good. What happens? It's the wrong medicine, my friends. So it's not working. Okay, have to take off more. They take off more. Then they feel more trashy. And they take off more. They're going in the wrong direction. Rabbi Osa, the happiest people are the Bnei Torah. The happiest people. We have to be very proud of Tznius. One of the, I don't think he'll mind saying my name, but Mati asked me a great question yesterday. He asked me, what is wrong with, he said tank tops, but you know, the sleeveless undershirts that are known as wife beaters. So both say it's the same answer. It's the same answer. Is any time we do anything which is extreme, I mean, you could play, I saw him, you could play in skins. You could take off your shirt and play without anything on. He did that in Shir also. We have to be proud of the tznius. We have to be proud of it, know where it's coming from. The lo yisbo shoshu is over. We have to be respect the busha involved and respect it. Okay, I have another one. Let's go on. Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudbeis. I assume someone's going to administratively deal with the ninth grade recess. I told a couple of guys here, if you're really terrible at 10:30 when there's recess, just I'm not mock fit, but you said deal with the principal. Okay, but I'm going to finish. If I didn't think this was best for you to hear it, I would just close. But I can't not say this one. The pasuk says Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudbeis after the sin, Vayomer Adam. You know who gave me Chava, the wife you gave me, she gave me from this Eitz Hadas to eat, and I ate it. So the Mefarshim say the word va'ochel is future tense. In other words, other Mishnah was telling Chava, I'm sorry, other Mishnah was telling Hashem that if the same thing would happen again, I would do it again. Can you imagine tell someone, the principal comes to you and says, you cut school. Why did you cut school? And you say, I cut school, and if I had to do it again, I'd do it again. You think that's going to elicit sympathy? Do not try that. Why did Anu Rishon tell Ribono Shalom that if I had to do it again, va'ochel, it's future tense, I would do it again? You're crazy. Meshuggah. So Rav Eliel Dessler says, so beautiful insight over here. You know what the first step to doing tshuva is? The first step to doing tshuva is to tell yourself, I'm going to do it again. Guy takes his phone, his smartphone, that's semi-filtered, and he finds a way in. Okay? He watches something he's not supposed to watch or see. What's the worst thing that guy could do? When he puts down that phone, he tells himself, I'm not going to do that again. Really? You're not going to do it again? Adam Risha knew where he was holding. He eventually did tshuva. Adam Risha eventually did tshuva. But today he knew that if it happened, he would do it again. I have to put together a plan. Abosai, the first thing we need to do is be honest with ourselves. Don't be that guy who says, I won't do it again. One guy told me that he has an illegal, it was not this year, he had a legal iPad in yeshiva, but Rebbe, don't worry about it. I put it in my suitcase. I don't use that iPad. But when I have vacation, I want to be able to have access to it without, what do you call it, so I have my suitcase. I told the guy, you are delusional. What delusional? He told me at a later time, I couldn't do anything. He told me in private, you know, he told me in the end, Rebbe, you were right. The first thing we have to do is tell ourselves, we're going to do it again. Is it brazen? Yeah, it's a little brazen, but you have to be honest with yourself. I'm going to do it again. If I was faced with the same challenge, I'm going to do it again. So what are we doing to make sure it doesn't happen again? That's what you need to do. You're going to do it again. And other Mishnah over here said, I'm going to do it again. I'll just finish up. We got to get the ninth grade out of here. Okay. The Pasuk says, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Hashem said to Chava, Mazos Asis, what did you do? Let me ask you a question, guys. Which was worse? That Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, even though she was told explicitly by Adam that Hashem said, do not eat from the Eitz Hadas? Or that after she ate from the Eitz Hadas, she gave it to Adam to eat? Which is worse? If you think that Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, raise your hand. Ooh. If you think she gave it to, thank you. I also thought that, by the way. If you think it's because she gave it to Adam, raise your hand. If you're just sleeping, raise your hand. Okay. The Ramban says clear. The worst Avera that Chava did was giving it to Adam Rishon. So a guy, I just like to always relate things to us. We could be doing the worst Avera. The guy with the iPad could spend 2 days watching everything Usher. And you know what's going to be worse? When he calls his friend, you want to watch a few minutes of this. That would be much worse. Rabbi said, we have to realize that. We have issues that we want to work on. You keep it private. Once you bring your friend, that's much worse. And this is something even from the Eitz Hadas, which caused the childbirth pains and caused that people was expelled from Gan Eden and death to the world. These are serious things, but they're in Bon Shalom. Those were not necessarily onshin, but consequences and natural consequences. But it was much worse that she gave it to the Rishon. That's a powerful lesson to us. And the last point, the Pasuk says, Paragil and Pasuk Tes, that Hashem, when he found Adam after he ate from the Eitz Hadas, he says, Ayeka. I've said this over in the names of, you know, Bali Darshanim, but the Gra says, the Pshat in Ayeka is, what happened to you, Adam? You were the ultimate Tzelem Elokim. Where are you? You've lost your exalted status. Ayeka, where are you? Not, of course Hashem knew where he was. It was a more profound insight, says the Gra. Where are you? I was speaking to one of our Talmidim, our alumni in Eretz Yisrael. He told me that he went out with his friends a couple of times, and one of those times he looked around and he found himself on one side of the street there was a bar, on the other side of the street there was one big hangout, and on the street itself, there was other stuff going on, people doing things. And at that moment, and his friends were all together, yeshiva guys, and he said to himself, what am I doing? It just hit him. He just got a sobering second, and he did an amazing thing. He just looked at his friend and says, I gotta go. And he ran. He started running and running, and he told me he's never going back there. The other guys are the same, but they didn't do that. It didn't hit them. We have to stop and pause and tell ourselves, Ayeka. Sometimes we just go about doing our thing, and we have to pause and tell ourselves, Ayeka, where am I? What am I doing? That's not how I want to become. The Yetzer Hara gets us to keep on going. It's all going to be good. But we have to pause, every one of us, myself included. We have to pause and tell ourselves, Ayeka. So just a quick summary. Number one, La'avda L'shamra, Rabosai, our job, same as on the Rishon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make us grow. Hashem is going to take care of us. Our job is to learn and to do the mitzvahs. Minimal ishtadlus. Number one. Number two, Lo Yisboshashu. We're living in society. When you go outside this room, everything else going on, outside the yeshiva I mean, is all also Lo Yisboshashu, the other direction. They're trying to sell us something that is keneged the world, keneged Briyas HaOlam. And we have to be able to resist it. It's not so easy to resist. Number three, Va'ochel. We have to do like Adam Rishon. He said it to Ribbono Shlom when he confronted him, I'm going to do it again. Sounds like chutzpah. We have to be honest with ourselves, Rabosai. You tell Hashem, I'm not going to do it again, and you're going to keep your iPad in the suitcase. Tomorrow, you're going to go back to that suitcase again. We have to say, I'm going to do it again. Because then we could do tshuva. Be honest with ourselves. Number four, Mazos Asis. We have to know that once we have that conversation with our friend, we took possibly a bad thing and we made it 20 times worse. Don't include, don't involve, even though they're also responsible. Other Mishon, he got the tzivoy, he should have said no. No good. Chav is held responsible, that was worse. And the last thing is we have to take stock sometimes and say Ayeka, and like our Talmud, he picked up and says, I gotta go, and he ran and never went back. He said, ninth grade has a break now for 30 minutes.
Didn't Chava beat Adam to eat it?
She did.